الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أنا سيد ولد آدم يوم القيامة ولا فخر، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام.
My respected brothers and elders, there is no person in the world, there is no being and no personality and no man in this world that the sun had the honor of shining upon that was more greater than our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The greatest person in this world upon whom the sun shone its rays was Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If one has to really talk about our beloved master sallallahu alaihi wasallam and describe his features and give a complete detailed description, one will be at a loss for words. That is why one person mentioned very beautifully, and he mentions that after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one acknowledges definitely that the greatest person is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is our Khaliq, and Allah is all powerful, most powerful. Innahu ala kulli shayin qadir. Allah is most able. Allah is omnipotent. Allah is omnipresent. Everything is in His control. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our nourisher, cherisher, sustainer. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, next in position is our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore he mentioned, Baad az khuda tuhi buzurg qissa mukhtasar. Words are very few. Conclusion is that after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has the highest rank. My respected brothers and elders, there are many, many kitab written on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we have, alhamdulillah, we are hearing talks on the seerat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from childhood days. My respected brothers and elders, we should ask ourselves the question, what type of muhabbat we have for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How much of ita'at are we making of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? We have the life of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een in front of us. And are we following the examples in the love that they show to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? In one national tabloid, a survey was taken. My brothers, it is sad to say, it was a so-called Muslim country. And they had a survey on personalities and celebrities. So after the survey was taken, the results showed that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ranked 11th position. The first 10 positions were given to pop stars, musicians, film actors and actresses, politicians. My respected brothers and elders, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has praised Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the manner in which Allah addresses his beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find throughout the Quran, other Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam, no doubt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored them, Allah respected them, but they were addressed by the name, Ya Nuhu, Ya Musa, Ya Isa, Ya Idris. But our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not addressed by Ya Muhammad, rather, Ya Ayyuhal Muzzammil, Ya Ayyuhal Muddathir, Ya Ayyuhal Nabi. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam says, I traveled the east and I traveled the west. I could not find any person more superior than Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam comes out of his home one day, out of his room into the masjid. This rewrites in Tirmidhi Sharif. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, a few of them had gathered. Yatadhakaruna al-anbiya. They were discussing various anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam and what power Allah ta'ala had given them and what great qualities Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had bestowed them with. So somebody praised Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, ittakhad Allahu Ibrahim khalila, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam his bosom friend, khalil. Somebody said that Musa was kalimullah, he spoke to Allah. Somebody mentioned about Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he was Ruhullah wa kalimatuh. And somebody mentioned that Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, istafahullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes out, sami'atu kalamakum wa ajabakum. And he says that Allah Rasulullah says, I heard your conversation. And I heard also how you had admired the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. No doubt Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was the Khalil of Allah. Inna Ibrahim Khalilullah wa huwa kadhalik. Wa Musa kalimatullah. Wa Musa kalimullah wa huwa kadhalik. Wa Isa kalimatullah wa huwa kadhalik. Every Nabi that you mentioned, no doubt Allah had given them this position. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Allah, remember, Ana Habibullah. I am Habibullah. The ulama mentioned, in the footnotes of Mishkat, it has been mentioned that the title of Habib surpasses that of any other attribute. It passes the title of Khalil even. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately mentioned, Wala fakhra. I am not saying this out of pride. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given this title to me. When Allah when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you gave the various anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam these great lofty ranks and positions and these titles, what have you made for me? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that you are my Habib, my most beloved. وَمَا ذُكِرْتُ إِلَّا ذُكِرْتَ مَعِي. جَبْ جَبْ بِي مِرَا ذِكَرْ هُوتَا هَيْ تَيْرَا ذِكَرْ بِي سَاتْ هُوْغَا. One poet mentioned, وَضَمَّ الْإِلَهُ إِسْمَ النَّبِيهِ لَسْمِهِ وَضَمَّ الْإِلَهُ إِسْمَ النَّبِيهِ لَسْمِهِ إِذْ قَالَ الْمُؤَذِّنُ فِي الْخَمْسِ أَشْهَدُ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala joined his name with his Nabi's name. Allah joined his Nabi's name with his name. When the muazzin says 5 times a day, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, immediately after that, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, I am Habibullah, wala fakhra. Wa ana awwalu shafi'in mushaffa. I'll be the first person to intercede. And my intercession will be accepted. We've heard this hadith of Shafa'ah before on the day of Qiyamah. When the ummah and an entire makhluk will go to every Nabi and finally they come to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, pleading to him to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to begin Hisab Kitab. Allah will tell, Ya Muhammad, irfa' ra'sak. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with love and affection, that now raise your head. Sal tu'ta wa shfa' tu shafa'. Ask whatever you ask will be granted and begin the intercession. Allah ta'ala says, your intercession will be accepted. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also mentioned that I will be the first person to knock on the doors of Jannah. In one hadith he had mentioned that Jannat has been made haram on any Nabi to enter before I enter. I will be the first person to enter paradise. And from all the ummahs, the first ummah to enter paradise will be none other than my ummah. Therefore my beloved brothers and elders, as I mentioned in the beginning, one is at a loss of words when he has to really describe our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Somebody mentioned, بَلَغَ الْعُلَىٰ بِكَمَالِهِ بلغ العلا بكماله كشف الدجى بجماله حسنت جميع خصاله صلوا عليه وآله. Regarding Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, بلغ العلا, he has reached the pinnacle of glory. He has reached such lofty ranks and such a high position in the eyes of Allah because of his perfection. وكشف الدجى بجماله, and he has dispelled all darkness through his jamal, his beauty. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha mentions that our room used to be dark because they had no lights, and sometimes they did not have any candle. She says, but when Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would enter, then immediately that entire room would become bright and illuminated. To such an extent, she says, and I was even then able to thread a needle. So much of nur used to come, my beloved brothers and elders. Some person described Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as Rubayya bint Muawiz radiallahu ta'ala anha. She says, فَأَنَّ شَمْسَ طَالِعَةً. When she saw the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she says, as though the sun was rising. Somebody mentioned that he was like the moon. As Jabir bin Samurah radiallahu ta'ala an, it is the 14th full moon night, and he was admiring the moon. When suddenly his glance went to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on that particular occasion he was wearing a garment, a red striped garment. And he looked at Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Mubarak face, shining, so bright. He looked at the moon. He looked at the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He looked again towards the moon, again to the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he came to the firm conclusion that definitely the Mubarak face of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is more brighter than the moon. My respected brothers and elders, therefore, as Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha mentions, that if only the friends of Zulaykha, we know the incident of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, that when he passed the room, the friends of Zulaykha were caught, and they had began to admire his beauty to such an extent that they forgot they were cutting the fruit and they began to cut the fingers. She says, if only these friends of Zulaykha had to see my Muhammad Arabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would not only cut their fingers, but they would slice their hearts open. Somebody else mentioned so beautifully, he says, the people of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, or these women of Egypt, they began to cut their fingers, but look at Sahaba radiallahu anhu, they cut their gardens for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Hassan bin Sabit radiallahu ta'ala, the shair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, poet of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually what a member made for Hassan bin Sabit in his masjid, in the masjid Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because when the kuffar and mushrikeen used to ridicule and mock at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would tell Hassan, stand, come and retaliate by means of poetry. Hassan bin Sabit radiallahu anhu also mentioned, and he said, وأحسن منك لم ترقت عيني وأحسن منك لم ترقت عيني وأجمل منك لم تلد النساء خلقت مبرأ من كل عيب كأنك خلقت كما تشاء. هذا حسان بن صابي described رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He says, أحسن منك, more better than you, more greater than you, more superior than you. لم ترقت عيني, my eyes have never seen. And no person who is more handsome than you has ever been born in this world. No woman has given birth to any person more beautiful than you. He mentions, as though you have been created free of any aib, any defaults, or any faults, or any defects. As though you have been created as exactly how you wished and you desired that Allah Ta'ala must create you. My brothers, such was the maqam of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yet we find in that tabloid and that survey that was taken, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that Muslim country was placed 11th position. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such was his maqam, respected brothers and elders, that even things which were not human, things that were not animate, like a tree. In the masjid of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a tree or a tree stump, which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to the kitab has been mentioned, when he used to deliver a khutbah, إِذَا طَالَ وُقُوفُهُ أَوْ شَعَرَ بِتَعْبٍ, when his bayan used to be very long, or if he became tired, then he would recline on this tree. And he should place his Mubarak hand on this tree. As the crowd became huge, more people entered into the fold of Islam. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala then built a mimbar for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam away from this place where he used to give this khutbah, so that more people could enter into the masjid and listen to the sermon of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when this mimbar was built, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proceeded towards the mimbar one Friday, and he passed by this tree. As he ascended the mimbar, my respected brothers and elders, this tree began to cry, it began to shriek, it began to yell, يَصْرُخُ سُرَاقًا شَدِيدًا وَيَحِنُّ, it began to cry and sob bitterly, to such an extent that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala also began to cry. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately understands why this tree is crying. He descends, he comes down, he goes to this tree. My respected brothers and elders, فَمَسَحَهُ, he strikes this tree with his Mubarak hands, he passes his hands over the tree, وَضَمَّ إِلَيْهِ, and then Rasulullah SAW takes hold of the tree and places the tree on his chest. حَتَّى هَدَأَ, until this tree became calm. My respected brothers and elders, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed the tree and said, if you wish, you may go back to the place and the garden from where you came. Or you have the option, if you want to be in paradise and Jannah, then you have that option also. Immediately the tree said, I want to be in paradise with you, ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Hassan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi then mentions, if this was the shauq, the yearning, the longing, my respected brothers and elders, of a tree for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how much more should be our yearning for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How much more should be our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Even the animals, my respected brothers and elders, that they will become humble in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All these things shows us his maqam, his superiority. As the Jabir radiallahu anhu says that we were returning one day from one journey, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to go and rest in one of the gardens of the Banu Najjar. Sahaba radiallahu anhu informed Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is a certain camel there that has become very wild and very violent, and it is attacking any person who approaches it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes into this garden, and immediately he calls towards this camel. My respected brothers and elders, it is mentioned in the kitabs that this camel comes with his head down, with utter humility, and he comes in front of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hatta baraka bayna yadayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It kneels down in front of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then very gently Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ties the camel, or the Sahaba tie the camel. My respected brothers and elders, what do we learn from this? Even the camels, how they subjugated themselves in front of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because they realized his maqam, his position. You and I have heard so many ahadith regarding the maqam, the position of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We claim that we have muhabbat for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we analyze, and if we look deep down into our lives, if we make introspection of our lives, my brothers and elders, then we realize how far away we are from the sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What type of muhabbat we have? Are these claims true? My respected brothers and elders, Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, they gave their life for the sake of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We cannot understand, we cannot comprehend at times the type of muhabbat and love that they show to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This incident we have heard many times previously. The Battle of Uhud takes place, and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala are returning. And there's one particular woman whose husband, whose father and brother had all gone in the path of Allah in this jihad. And she goes out as other people. She should normally go and welcome the relatives and meet their friends and relatives. She goes out and somebody passed by and said, your father has passed away, he's become shaheed. After expressing Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, she says, but I want to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is he okay? What about my beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Perhaps she had in her feeling that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had become shaheed and he's no longer with us here. They tell her, no, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sound, he is okay. She says, no, I want to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with my own eyes. Somebody then tells her that your brother has become shaheed. She says, I want to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Somebody tells her, your husband has become shaheed. All these things do not affect her. Until she sees Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is alive and he is sound, then she becomes pleased and happy. And she says, Ya Rasulullah, kulla musibatin ba'daka jalalu. Every calamity, every musibat after you, that after seeing you, any musibat that may have come upon me, that may have befallen me, is something very light, nothing, very trivial, very petty. Zayd bin Dathina radiallahu ta'ala is placed on the ground. The kuffar are about to slaughter him. Abu Sufyan, who was not a Muslim at that time, radiallahu ta'ala, he accepts Islam after that. He mentions that we ask Zayd bin Dathina, oh Zayd, don't you desire now at this time that Muhammad be in your place and you should be happy and safe with your family and children, and you put your Nabi here in your place and we slaughter him? Zayd bin Dathina radiallahu ta'ala, my beloved brothers and elders, these words should be written in gold. He says that we cannot even tolerate a thorn pricking our Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you are saying that Muhammad must be in my place? This was the love they had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One person felt that his muhabbat surpassed every other person, and his muhabbat is perhaps even more than what the Sahaba had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he sees that night in a dream that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is traveling in a cart, and this cart is coming down a hill, a slope, at a very, very fast speed. And he is also there, and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu majmaina also, this is a dream that he relates. And he says that we are about to now meet up with an accident, and the entire cart will capsize, and everybody is going to get hurt. So I jump off this cart to save myself. He says, but I saw the beloved Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu majmaeen, they go in, they jump off, they run in front of this cart, and they place their bodies in front of the cart to stop the cart immediately to a halt position, and they save Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From this he realized that his love was not like the love for Sahaba. They were prepared to sacrifice their lives, give their bodies for the sake of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala, who is known as Aminu Hadil Ummah, the most trustworthy person in this ummah, Rasulullah gave him this title. Battle of Uhud, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is hurt. We know the rings of the helmet pierces through his cheeks. A few sahaba are around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Abu Bakr radiallahu is very close by, Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu indicates to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, indicates to him, oh Abu Bakr, you have done a lot for Islam, you have done a lot for the service for deen, and you have got real love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You had many opportunities in your life, give me this one opportunity please. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, my beloved brothers and elders, we know how close he was to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Uqba bin Abi Mu'ayt, the arch enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who came and he threw his shawl around the neck of Rasulullah sallam, and he began to strangle our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whilst he was in salat. My beloved brethren, فَخَلَقَهُ خَلْقًا شَدِيدًا, he began to strangle Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu who came to his rescue. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, in time of hijrah, he says, Ya Rasulullah, the other sahaba you have commanded them to go, Ya Rasulullah, please, you permit me to join you. I want to be your rafiq safar on this journey. When permission is given to him, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha says that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, my father, began to sob like a little child. He cried so bitterly, and he cried tears of joy and happiness. When they make this hijrat, we know the entire incident. And when they come to the cave, then Sayyidina Abu Bakr tells, "Ya Rasulullah, you wait outside. Let me go inside first and clean this cave from any harmful insect." He goes in and removes all the harmful insects from the cave. He tears his shawl into pieces and he closes in every hole that he could find from which any harmful insect could come. Then he tells Rasulullah to come in and he says, "Ya Rasulullah, place your Mubarak head on my lap." And Rasulullah does so, but there are two holes that are uncovered still. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu takes his legs and he closes and he presses his legs against those two holes. My respected brothers and elders, we have heard the story many times. Ponder, reflect, think. That why is he in this position? A very harmful insect, some say it was a scorpion, some say it was a snake, that began to bite the feet of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. It is mentioned in the kitab, after some time where he could not bear this pain anymore, he made so much of sabr, he did not make any move, no harkat whatsoever, because he did not want to disturb the sleep of his beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When those tears began to roll down his cheeks and fell onto the Mubarak cheek of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who then woke up and said, "Ya, oh Abu Bakr, what has happened?" Then Sayyidina Abu Bakr showed him that this was what happened. Rasulullah placed his Lu'abi Mubarak on the feet of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and immediately became cured. My brothers and elders, ulama mentioned two things. That one was due to the pain that Sayyidina Abu Bakr could not bear any longer, and that is why he began to shed tears. Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib rahmatullahi mentioned that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he remained in this position, and those tears that came down his cheeks was for this reason, that he began to think and contemplate, "Ya Allah, this harmful insect, the snake, has bitten me. It is poisonous. Shortly I will lose my life, I will die. My beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be all alone in this cave. Nobody else is with him. The kuffar arrives at the entrance of the cave and they will kill my beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." These thoughts of now losing his Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is why he began to shed these tears. So I was mentioning Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala. He indicates to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, "You are so close to Rasulullah SAW, we had many opportunities, give me this chance." And he goes forward, and he goes close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and by means of his teeth, he pulls out very gently the ring, the two rings of the helmet that had gone into the cheek of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he managed to pull all these rings very gently from the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On this occasion, Hazrat Talha radiallahu ta'ala an, he acted as a human shield before Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The arrows of the enemies were directed towards Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My respected brothers and elders, Hazrat Talha radiallahu ta'ala an, he takes out his hand and he defends Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to such an extent that so many arrows that pierce his hand. Qais bin Hazim radiallahu ta'ala mentions that I saw the hand of Talha becoming paralyzed because of the arrows that had struck his hand. Why? Because he was defending Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My brothers and elders, there are so many other incidents. Hazrat Mu'az bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala, when he's leaving for Yemen, and Rasulullah sallam then tells him, "Wallahi inni la uhibbuk." "Oh Mu'az, I really love you." Imagine after some person, Shaykh or Ustad, or somebody who is very close to, really tells him, "I've got real genuine muhabbat for you." And after that he tells him, "Oh Mu'az, asa an la talqani ba'da ami hadha. Wala'allaka an tamurra bi masjidi wa qabri." "Oh Mu'az, perhaps this is our last mulaqat. You will not see me again. Perhaps you may come by next year or sometime after this and you will see my masjid and my qabr." Hazrat Mu'az radiallahu anhu began to cry. It is mentioned in some kitab that Rasulullah turned his face away because he also began to cry and he did not want to make Mu'az radiallahu anhu lose any hope and courage because now he was going to become a governor in Yemen. My beloved brothers and elders, Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he could no longer be Mu'azzin. Because he was reminded of Nabiya Kareem all the time. He goes to Damascus. After some time when he comes to visit the people of Medina, he meets Hassan Hussein radiallahu anhuma. They are overjoyed. They see Bilal again. They insist, "Please Bilal, you call out the azan today." When Hazrat Bilal goes out and he calls the beautiful sound, the words of the azan, "Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar." And the echoing sound in Medina Munawwara, my respected brothers and elders, the women and children, everybody come out of their homes. They reminded us the days of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That sukoon, that peace, the serenity. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu, as he's calling out the azan, when he comes to Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, the word Muhammad Rasulullah, he is unable to take these words out because he begins to cry. Why? He's thought of his beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He collapses, he falls onto the ground. Such was the love the Sahaba had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My beloved brothers and elders, time has already expired. There's so much more we would like to share and remind ourselves also. We have heard many sirat bayans also. But as I mentioned in the beginning, we have to bring in the sunnah of Nabiya Kareem in our life. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had love for his ummah also. We heard last week and many times previously also. That dua Nabi Kareem Sallam gave Sayyidina Aisha, and she became so overjoyed. Allahumma fi Aisha ma qaddamat wa ma akharrat wa ma asarrat wa ma alanat. Allah forgive Sayyidina Aisha all the sins. Rasulullah said, I make this dua, O Aisha, for my ummah 5 times every day. Rasulullah, some fikr he had for his ummah. It is mentioned that whilst he was in sajda and he used to cry, Allahumma ummati ummati, that sound of a boiling kettle will come out of his chest. It is easy to say this thing, my respected brothers and elders, but let us sit back and think and ponder what sacrifices Rasulullah gave for us. Whilst he is in sajda, that is the time Uqba bin Abi Mu'id and other people, other kuffar, find that opportunity of playing the camel intercede on the back of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his beloved Fatima radiallahu ta'ala, who is a little girl. She comes to his rescue and she takes that camel intercede off the back of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Abu Talib had passed away, then they found another opportunity to mock and ridicule Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some people took sand and they began to throw on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They covered his hair and his face with dust and sand. He goes to his home. His little daughter, Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, she wipes the Mubarak face of her beloved father. She is crying. He says, La tabki. Ey bunayya, la tabki. Do not cry, my little daughter. A time will come when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect me. The days came when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken out, driven out of Makkah. He had to go to Madinah Munawwara. But that opportunity also came in his life. When he came back to Makkah, the reins of Makkah was back in his hands. One sahabi said, Al-yawma yawmul malhama. Today is the day of war and revenge. Rasulullah said, mentioned, no. Al-yawma yawmul marhama. Today is not the day of revenge. Today is a day of forgiveness and making ma'af. And he forgave the people of Makkah. My respected brothers and elders, this was the qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That fikr he had and that love he had. He passes his Mubarak hand on a little child. A person, a Bedouin, standing next to him. Ya Rasulullah, I've got tension. I never did this any day in my life. So much of affection you're showing to a little child. Rasulullah mentioned that if Allah ta'ala snatches away rahmat from any person, then such a person is a very unfortunate person. When Allah takes rahmat out of his heart, then such a person is a very unfortunate person. Rasulullah showed us that we should have mercy and compassion even on little children. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu, inshallah we'll conclude here. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu says, Khadamtu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ashra sineen. I served Rasulullah for 10 years. And he says, وَمَا قَالَ لِي أُفٍ قَطُّ. Never ever did he ever reproach me or scold me. He never even used the words uff towards me. If he commanded me to do something and I forgot, he never scolded me. If I did something which he didn't ask me to do, then again he never rebuked me or scolded me. Once he sent me for some work, and I was a little boy. He was 10 years when he came to make the khidmat of Rasulullah. He, when Rasulullah passed away, he was 20 years old. Exactly 10 years he spent in the company of Rasulullah. So Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu says that I went for this work, but I was a little boy. I saw my friends playing the gullies of Medina. I also began to play with them. Rasulullah in the meantime is waiting for me. And what has happened to Anas? So he comes rushing, looking for me, and he finds me, but he comes from behind. And he closes my eyes, or somebody might say, he catches me around my hip very tightly. Anas says, I did not know who was there. So I began to fight with the person, and suddenly I saw it was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then I saw his face and realized that he had sent me for some work, but he says Rasulullah did not scold me at all. And then Rasulullah also mentioned to Anas radiallahu anhu, Ya bunayya, in qadarta an tusbiha wa laysa fi qalbika ghashun li ahadin faf'al wa dhalika min sunnati wa man ahabba sunnati faqad ahabbani wa man ahabbani kana ma'i fil jannah. O kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. O Anas, if it is possible, meaning you should do this every day when you wake up in the morning, wake up in this condition, yet that you do not have any malice, hatred for any Muslim brother or sister. If you do this, this is part of my sunnah. And whoever follows my sunnah, then he loves me. And whoever loves me, he will be with me in jannah. Therefore, my beloved brothers and elders, the famous couplet of our Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahab, Damat Barakatuhu, Naqsh-e Qadam Nabi ke hai, Sunnat ke raaste, Allah se milate hai, Jannat ke raaste. Naqsh-e Qadam Nabi ke hai, Jannat ke raaste, Allah se milate hai, Sunnat ke raaste. That follow the footsteps of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bring in your life every Sunnat of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My respected brothers and elders, we know what is happening, the scenario in the world today. If we come back onto the line of Sunnah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us those victories He gave the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, and Allah will give us that help and that nusrat and that madad. We will feel that peace, the serenity, the tranquility, and Allah will give us a sustenance and rosy and barakat in our lives. And my respected brothers and elders, we will also be with our beloved Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hereafter. Wa akhru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.